Good morning again, everybody. It's really great to see you today on this end of August. It almost feels like football season. How there was a football game on yesterday. We got some UT shirts in the house today. Anybody excited about UT? Oh, my goodness. What's the problem? Anyone excited about football? All right, yeah. Anyway, it's really great to see everybody this morning. We just finished a fantastic 21 days of prayer, grand finale yesterday morning. Had a great time here, and I can feel the benefit of it. Worship was so strong today. It's wonderful to be surrounded by such a great team of people, great musicians and singers, and I love what they bring every Sunday. And I just think, Wes and Mary do a great job producing our welcome videos. Don't they do a great job? Let's hear it for them. In fact, we record our services live. You mind watching my glasses for me, babe? We record our services live on the second service. And my mother, always later, she tells me, I didn't see your sermon, but I always watch the welcome video. Thanks a lot, Mom. We are starting a new series. We've done this series before with different characters. We like to bring this series back from time to time because it's a great way for us to teach about some of the great heroes of the faith in the Bible. So Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Fame of Faith. Thank you. And try that again. This is the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we're going to bring out one of those characters this morning. Because these characters, the scripture says, are cheering for us. How many believe that cheering makes a difference? Believe cheering makes a difference? Some people doubt that. They like, what's the real deal? You know, home court advantage. You still have the same players on the team. You know, a lot of times they'll call the fans the sixth man or the 12th man in football. Do they really make a difference? And I would just make a case for the fact that they do. Many of you don't know that I'm a lifelong Cubs fan. I don't talk about it a lot here because I live in Tennessee, but I grew up listening to the Cubs on WGN, and I lived through losing season after losing season. But they didn't have a better fan. I was just a great fan of the Chicago Cubs. Finally won the World Series a few years ago and got that monkey off our back. But if you don't believe that cheering makes a difference, I would raise to you this year's statistics for the Chicago Cubs. Because the Chicago Cubs, away from home, this is their record. Look at their record away from home. Could you all just help me out with the sermon and say, isn't that awful? They're 25-39 away from home. When they're at Wrigley Field, which has the best fans in all the world, look at their record when they're at home. 44-19. Can we say, yeah, very good. And overall, go ahead, their record is 69-58, first place. Their record at home is so good that they're overcoming the fact of how bad they are on the road. What's the difference? The same players. The only difference is they've got a whole stadium full of people that are cheering for them. Now, these statistics are 2 days old. I did this sermon on Friday. Since then, the Cubs have had two more games. Both of them were on the road, and they lost them both. They're now in second place, dadgummit. But I'm still a Cubs fan, and if they could play every game at home, what a better team they would be. I think that living the Christian life is like playing every game at home. Because you, every day, have a group of people that are cheering for you. They're on your side. They're cheering you on. They're in the grandstands. And so what if in this race we called life, we could have one of these heroes of faith come out of the stands and run one lap with us? Our key scripture is going to be Hebrews 12:1 that says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run. That's where we get this series title from, Running with the Giants. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Every game, a home game. Now, when I was a kid, the Cubs were so bad that they almost moved the team to the Philippines. Did you know that? They almost moved them to the Philippines, and they were going to rename them the Manila Folders. You'll get it later. The Manila Folders. They fold. They don't win. First Service laughed. The Manila Folders. Note to self, remove that joke, all right? In the time of the judges, of different heroes of the faith that would lead God's people for a period of time, and one of these heroes was a guy by the name of Samson. Samson, you may have heard about him. In fact, there's a movie out. Did you know there's a movie out about Samson's life right now? And we think of Samson as this, you know, really buff kind of guy that works out at Planet Fitness or National Fitness or you show a picture. Yeah, that's kind of how we kind of picture Samson. That's actually from the movie Samson. He's got the jawbone of a donkey, and he's killing a whole Philistine army with that jawbone of a donkey. We picture him as buff and all those kind of things, but really, there's no indication in the Bible that Samson was physically strong. The only thing that we know about him is that when God would move on him, he had supernatural strength, and he could do amazing things, like all those Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. He did great things. But if you look at the life of Samson, you could ask yourself, why is this guy in the Hall of Fame? There's Samson's life is not a great story. It's more of a tragedy when you look at Samson's life. What do I mean by that? In spite of the fact that he did some great things, had these amazing things. He had this defect in him. And this defect was that even though God's hand was on his life, he was disobedient to his parents. He got in wrong relationships. And if you know the story of Samson, he starts out good, but then his heart is turned by a woman. How many of that's a common story, right? No, not blaming the women, okay? Not blaming the women. Many women turned by a man, but his heart was turned by this relationship with Delilah. And when he saw Delilah, he said, I know this is God's will for my life. But Samson ended up telling the enemy the secret to his strength, because God had made a promise that if you won't cut your hair, if you'll take this Nazarite vow, one of them was don't cut your hair, if you'll not cut your hair, Then when you call on me, I'll be there for you. And if you know the story, he marries Delilah, but Delilah's working for the enemy. And one day she starts singing lullabies to him, and she gets him to sleep. And Samson's sleeping on her lap, and she cuts off his hair. And when she does it, she says, Samson, the Philistines are here. And Samson wakes up and he shakes himself like he did at other times, ready to go after and take care of some Philistines. But instead, he was as weak as a baby and he couldn't do it. And suddenly, he found himself unable to overcome them. And they defeated him, and they ended up gouging out his eyes. And he spends the rest of his life walking in circles at a grist mill. And he is literally the guy that's grinding the meal. He's blind, and he's spending the rest of his life walking in circles. Why is it, just because he had some good victories, does this guy find himself in the Hall of Fame? He did some amazing things. He killed a lion with his bare hands, did things like that. But his life just becomes a wreck. I know when it comes to the Baseball Hall of Fame, there's always, this guy be in? Should he not be in? Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Pete Rose, he had all these amazing statistics, but he bet on baseball. baseball, and they kept him out of the... And yet, God puts Samson in the Hall of Fame. What is it about Samson that puts him in the Hall of Fame? We're gonna find out at the end of this message, and I think it's going to be encouraging to you. If you're taking notes this morning, and there's a place in your worship guide where you can blanks after service, you can get a notebook that you've already paid for because it comes from your offerings and it's yours, and you can have one and put your notes in it and just take it home with you, and every time you come back, you can put your notes in there. But if you're taking notes this morning, Samson's life and the lesson of Samson is for when you think you see everything clearly all on your own. We don't see things the way that we ought to see them all on our own. We need help to get through life. The Bible calls the Word of God a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It lights the way so that we can see clearly. How many knows that you know that you don't have to lose your eyes in order to be blind? Amen? Yeah, you don't have to lose your eyes in order to be blind. Someone said, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. I think we're living in the land of the blind today. There's a lot of blindness in our culture that has nothing to do with losing your physical eyesight. How can we be blind? We can be blind to God's purpose for our life. Samson was made to be grinding meal in the enemy's camp. He was made with a purpose for his life. Let's look at it in the book of Judges. You will become, this is to Samson's parents. God says, you will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. He wasn't made to do what he ends his life doing. He was made to defeat the Philistines, to be a great champion for God. We've got t-shirts that some of us wear that said, I was made for this. Did you know that God made you for something? Some of you think, oh yeah, Phil, you have a call on your life. You're called to be our pastor. I just came to tell you this morning, every one of you have a call on your life. And the call on your life is no less important than the call on my life. Every one of us have been given gifts. Every one of us have been given talents that there are superpowers. That God takes ordinary people and he does extraordinary things. See, I don't think Samson was buff. I don't think he looked like he was in Planet Fitness. Just for the sake of discussion, he could have looked like a nerd. He could have had, you know, tape in his glasses right here in the middle. And he's just this ordinary guy. But it wasn't his workouts that allowed him to kill 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey. It was the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. It's the Spirit of the Lord that makes your specialness. It's not your workout regimen. It's not your education. It's not all those things can take you so far. But God can put his gifts in you and do supernatural stuff with you. Amen. I think God wants to do that with Life Church. I think he just wants to take ordinary people and do something extraordinary in the city of Knoxville. Amen. He wants to take regular people and do something that's going to confound the enemy. Because if that happens, then it's not because of our own strength. It's not because of our own smarts. It's all because of God. Amen. Amen. But you know what happens when you don't have that sense of purpose in your life? When you don't have that sense of purpose in your life, it doesn't matter how you live. You see, the calling on my life affects the way I live, because I have to live in certain ways that are in keeping with the calling on my life. I can't go anywhere that my body wants me to go. I can't do anything that my body wants me to do. Why? Because I'm constrained by the call of God on my life. Proverbs says it this way, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. If you don't have a vision for your life, if you don't know why it is that you were born, you'll find yourself just doing whatever feels good, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow I die, amen. That's what'll happen if you don't have a cause. And some of you, that's what you need to hear this morning. You were born with purpose. God has a reason for your existence. Maybe somebody told you you were an accident. God came to tell you today you were no accident, and God doesn't make junk, and he doesn't make accidents, and he created you not just with DNA. He created you with a purpose. Amen. 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 You know, but if you're blind to your purpose, it doesn't matter who you marry. Doesn't matter how you make your money. Doesn't matter what you ingest into your body. Doesn't matter what drugs you take. None of that matters if there's no meaning, if there's no purpose in your life. I was giving a young man a ride the other day. You don't know I'm an Uber driver, and interesting that I picked him up at Planet Fitness, and he was a young guy, probably 19, 20 years old, and he was buff. You could tell he'd been working, not just that week, but many weeks. And I only had one mile with him, 1 mile. So, you know, when you got a one-mile ride, usually all you get accomplished is hi and my name and bye and see you later, you know, because you don't have any time by the time you just don't know somebody. So he gets in the car, and I just start, you know, I was impressed with the young man. I said, man, you're obviously working out. You're doing good, man. Nice guns, you know. I said, I like to work. I've been doing it for quite a while now, and he was telling me how he's given up some habits and all of that because he's working out. And you know, just by the time we're just getting started, we're pulling into his driveway, and just as we're pulling into his driveway, you ever have that time in the moment in a conversation when something happens and the conversation turns, and here it is at the last second. He said to me, I'm kind of stuck right now. He said, I'm stuck. He said, because I can't decide whether to go into the military or to become a personal trainer. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do with my life. And I said, this may sound kind of weird, but I said, have you ever considered church? I said, I actually go to a church that helps people discover their purpose for their life. That's one of the reasons we exist, to help people discover their purpose. He said, really? He said, I hadn't been in a long time, and I just went to a church last night. He said, maybe I'll come. But I tell you all that to say that God created you with a purpose. So I told the guy, I said, you know, you ought to come to my church. In fact, if you met our pastor, he is amazing. that guy, and good looking. He's just phenomenal. I'm sorry, I'm just being serious. It's Chris Hodges for the day. So you've got to know the purpose for your life. So on October, the first Sunday of October, we're going to have a Discover Life class. And the Discover Life class, it's our membership class, but it's not just so that you can become a member, because you're not only discovering what Life Church is about, half the class is discovering you. Finding out what your spiritual gifts are, finding out what are the superpowers that God put inside of you. What are the spiritual gifts that you have that could set you apart, that if you gave your life to Christ, that he could energize and he could use those gifts to do extraordinary things with an ordinary person. So we can be blind to God's purpose in our life. Another way that people are blind today is we can be blind to the power of relationships. I came to tell you something. Relationships are really powerful, really powerful. Good relationships are really powerful. Bad relationships are really powerful. Good relationships have the opportunity to make such a powerful impact on your life. Having the right friends can propel you forward in life. And man, bad relationships can absolutely do the same thing. Judges says this. This is talking about Samson. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now go get her for me as my wife. Now remember, his purpose was to defeat the Philistines. He now sees a Philistine woman. And when he sees the woman, he says, this is God's will for my life. Such a wrong set of criteria. Just based on her appearance alone, he says, this is the one for me. And his mother and father replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? Circumcision was what set God's people apart in those days. In many ways, in our time, baptism is what sets us apart. It would be like today, someone just going out and a Christian going out and having a relationship with an unbaptized believer and saying, you know, this has got to be God's will for my life. It can't be wrong if it feels so right. Too beautiful. To all of those reasons for getting in this relationship. And his parents said, advised him against it. But Samson said to his dad, get her for me. She's the right one for me. He doesn't listen to his parents. Can I just tell you, young people, parents are given to us because they've lived some life and they've seen some things that we haven't seen, and we need to listen to them when they're giving us godly advice. Amen, parents. I know that there's times when you think, oh, this generation just doesn't get us. They've never related to anything that we've done. Can I just tell you, God gave us parents to help us see what we can't see. We can't go through this life on our own. We need help with our blindness. All of us do. So, the power of relationships gets him, and this woman turns his heart. You are defined by your relationships. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. If you can show me your friends, your future is very predictable based on those friendships. And when you see yourself justifying all those friendships, oh, I just want to be an influence on them. And Jesus was a friend of the world and a friend with sinners. That's absolutely right. But don't ever forget the fact that he spent the vast majority of his time with his disciples. And it was only from that place of safety that he could go out into the world and reach the lost. Amen. So he's swayed by these relationships. You are on average of the four or five people that you're closest to. Your character is somewhere right in that group of those folks that you are hanging with. Think about that. 1 Corinthians says it this way: don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. The people that you hang with will affect you. Bad company corrupts good character. Your parents aren't as wrong as they think. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have parents that guide me in that way. Can I tell you, that's one of the reasons for the church. God takes the lonely and sets them in families. Here we've got godly fathers and mothers and grandparents that are here to guide you, help you, and mentor you to becoming all that God wants you to be. Amen. Ephesians said, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And he despises his father's instruction, and he goes for this Philistine woman. There's a great female theologian that put it very well about sort of the ignorance of us when we go about life blind, and that theologian's name is Taylor Swift. And she said, when you're 15 and somebody tells you they love you, you're going to believe him. When you're 15 and somebody tells you they love you, don't believe them. They're wanting sugar. They haven't figured life out yet. You can't base your life on your hormones. You've got to base your life on your principles. Amen. And one of the things that I'm just really thankful is I got a godly woman, and I got to tell you, she was really pretty when I married her, but because she is, she's prettier today, all these years later, than she was even on the day that I married her. And I mean that. Another way that people are blind. Sorry. You can be blind to the nature of God. You can be duped into feeling that because God's favor is on my life, because every time I shake myself, the Spirit of the Lord comes on me and I defeat Philistines, you can dupe yourself into believing that you're invincible. As I used to call myself to my kids when I was a young parent, I called myself indestructible, indestructo man. You can wrestle me, you can do anything to me, and I am indestructo man. That was before I had gallbladder surgery and two or three other surgeries. Now I'm just happy to be alive, man. You know? You just have that feeling of, oh, I can do anything. And you're in a church this morning that preaches the grace of God. And one of the reasons I think that people come to our church is because we don't spank you every week and we tell you that God loves you and has a plan for your life and all those things. But sometimes when you hear that over and over and over again, if you're not careful, you can be duped and be blinded by the nature of God, because not only is God a merciful God, God is also a just God. And there is a limit. And we can lose the favor of God in our lives. Hear me, church. It's not automatic. Sometimes we just think that God's like this grandparent who's overly permissive and just says, oh, there, that's just my sweet little grandson. He can do anything he wants to that's wrong. And it doesn't, but Samson over and over gets away with it. He's misbehaving, but God still blesses him. He's misbehaving, but God still blesses him. Sometimes we get duped because there is a delay between the consequences of what we do and the time that we do those things. There's sometimes a delay, and that delay is because of the mercy of God. God's given us time to repent. He's given us time to get it together. He's given us time to do all those things. But if we're not careful, we can misunderstand the nature of God. And that's exactly what Samson did. So he feels so invincible that he tells Delilah the secret of his strength. You can cut my hair off. It has nothing to do with, that's a dangerous thing. When we come to the point where it has nothing to do with my hair, it has nothing to do with my relationship with God, it's all about me. Oh, it's me. I can do this. We've got to come to the point where we realize without God, we're nothing. We've got to have his strength. It's him that makes the difference in our lives. After putting him to sleep on her lap, Delilah sings to him, puts him to sleep, gives him warm milk. She calls for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He woke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and I'll shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles, and they set him to grinding grain in the prison. Church, we need not just a healthy view of the mercy of God, but we need a healthy view of the fear of the Lord. I know that God loves you. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. But there is the fear of the Lord that says we just can't continually defy God's moving in our lives. God can remove his favor. David prayed, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Genesis says, and the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man. I'm not always going to. I'll be faithful to you time and time again, but you can reach a point where my favor is no longer with you. tragic, isn't it tragic? So if Samson is taking one lap with us in this race we call life, what would Samson say to us? I think the first thing that Samson would say to us is protect the presence of God in your life. Don't take the presence of God for granted. I tell our staff, Saturday night really affects Sunday morning. How we spend our Saturday nights have a lot to do with what we expect that God will do with us on Sunday morning. My wife and I are so radical about this because, boy, if the enemy can ever get pastors off track, it'll be on Sunday morning. Just start fighting about small stuff, you know. We don't have fights. We have discussions. You know what I'm talking about? Little discussions. And but if those can happen, they'll happen on Sunday morning. We've gotten to where a lot of times I drive my car and she drives. We're not mad at each other. We're just not gonna give the enemy any opportunities on Sunday morning, so I can be on my schedule. She can take her time and get ready, and I can come as early as I want to. And but now we've been together so long, and we're getting better at this. We're riding together a lot. We rode to church together this morning. But we're sticklers about who protect the presence of God in your life. Because the enemy will do everything that he can to knock you off track. 1 Thessalonians says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Ephesians says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. The symbol of the Holy Spirit is a dove. Doves are very sensitive. They're in the pigeon family. Pigeons aren't sensitive. Pigeons will land on you if you bring them food. They don't care. But a dove with just the smallest disturbance will fly away. The Holy Spirit is like a dove. Protect that dove. Protect it. Honor the Holy Spirit. Cultivate the presence of God. How do I cultivate the presence of God? The best thing I can recommend to you this morning, I know it doesn't sound very exciting, but it's what works. It's obedience. God loves when people just obey him. Just spending time with God. Just spend time in prayer. You don't have to read 10 chapters of the Bible, but just read a verse in the beginning of your day. Give God the first part. You know, be generous. Put God first. You know, the reason we have church on Sunday is we're saying, God, I'm giving you this first part of the first day of the week because I want you to bless my whole week. So I'm giving you what's first. When you begin your day, before you start playing video games, before you start getting on your phones, before you start texting, before you start calling, before you do all that, spend a little time with God in prayer and spend a little bit of time in his word. Because why? Because we want to get the first, so he'll bless all day. With our finances, we put God. He doesn't want all of our money, and God doesn't, by the way, need our money. He owns it all. But as we put God first and say, God, I'm just giving back to you this first portion, give him the first. Why? Because we want him to bless the rest. We want him to bless the rest, putting God first. Protect the presence of God. The second thing I think that Samson would say to us is, choose your relationships carefully. Choose your relationships carefully. Very quickly, this is not in your notes, but I think it's really important. You ought to write it down. Nurture important relationships. Restore broken relationships. Sever harmful relationships. And initiate some meaningful relationships. I did that this week. I found a couple friends that I want to become more like. One of them's on the foundation of Emerald Youth. A guy named Cedric Jackson. He's actually going to preach our anniversary in a couple weeks. But he pastors Rosebury Baptist Church in just down south of Fountain City. But he's just a wild. So I invited him, and there's another pastor that when I just saw him, he just retired, United Methodist pastor, filled with the Holy Spirit, amazing guy, a leadership guy. I want what he has, so I just invited him to lunch. I said, hey, guys, I'd just like to meet with you, pray with you. I need you guys in my life. And we just had a great time of fellowship, and we're going to make it a regular thing because I know I'm going to become like the people that I'm spending time with. And those are guys that I want to become more like. Proverbs 13 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. A companion of fools can get your eyes gouged out. Our church is based on these relational things. We have small groups in our church, and the purpose of our small groups is so that we can make friends and develop relationships with other believers and realize that we're part of a family. Hebrews says it this way, don't stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day, that day is the judgment day. As you see the judgment day approaching, spend time together, amen. Encourage one another. In our small groups, we do all of the one another's. We love one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. All the one another's that the New Testament talks about happen in our small groups. So you're probably asking yourself, why is Samson on the list? Why is Samson on the list? Why don't we have a better story of a Hall of Famer instead of this guy that ends his life walking in circles? Well, the reason I think that Samson is on the list and actually other people on that list are in the list is because it's not so important how you start. What's really important is how you finish. And somebody this morning needs to hear this. This is really important. Maybe you've heard the story and felt condemned today. You don't need to walk out of this place condemned because we came here to hear the gospel, and the gospel is good news. And I got some good news for you, and that's this. Failure is never final. Failure is never final. It got bad, folks. Samson, born with his purpose in his life, married to his dream girl. Now he's walking in circles day after day, month after month, year after year. And the Philistines say, let's have a banquet. And the banquet, the purpose of the banquet will be to make fun of God. We're going to talk about the way our God defeated Israel's God. At the banquet, we're going to celebrate how Dagon overcame Samson and the Israelites. So they're having a party. I mean, the kegs were flowing there. People were just having a great time. And someone said, you know what would make this party even better? Bring Samson. We'll make fun of Samson. Servant walks Samson into the banquet. No longer has Samson got his chest out, but now his head's down. His eyes are completely gone. Servant has to walk him everywhere. Somebody says, hey, Samson, where's your God now? Hey, Samson, you couldn't even hurt a fly. Hey, Samson, how do you like grinding meal? And can I just tell you that the devil laughs at some of us? Hey, you got no purpose for your life. You're going nowhere. Samson said to the servants, hey, would you just mind bringing me over to those pillars? Just let me rest my hands on the pillars of the banquet hall. The banquet hall was full. They got every Philistine in the building that they could get. They were way over the fire codes. There were people everywhere. Samson prayed to God. Judges 16:28. Sovereign Lord, we sang it this morning, Tanner. You're sovereign over me. The enemy means for evil. You can turn it for my good. It's interesting, he says, sovereign Lord. Remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more. Some of you are here today, and you need to say to God, one more time, Lord. Give me my first love again, God, one more time. I'm tired of my life going in circles. I'm tired of the enemy having a heyday with me. Would you do it one more time? One more time, would you use me? Would you use me? Samson's there. Suddenly feels says that Samson began to push on those pillars. I just imagine Samson pushing on the pillars till the chandeliers begin to shake. The room starts to quiet. Is there an earthquake? What's going on? Plaster starts falling from the ceilings. Samson's pushing on the pillars, and suddenly cracks begin to appear in those pillars, and with one great shove he pushes one more time, and one more time he pushes, and when he does, the building collapses. And the scripture says, and if you're like me, my wife and I were talking about the story earlier. As a kid, when we'd read that story, we were like, yeah, but Samson died too. Samson died too. Straight into the Hall of Fame. He died with the enemy, and he was ready to go. And when he died, God said, well done. Somebody needs to hear today, failure doesn't have a word. God gets the last word. God gets the last word. No matter what your life may have been to this point, if you'll just say to God one more time, Lord, one more time, touch me. Touch me one more time. Let me tell you about this God of ours. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good news? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I'm going to invite us to bow in prayer right now, and we're going to pray. And I'm just going to lift up a prayer of asking God to come into our hearts right now. And I just invite you to pray this prayer along with me. Heavenly Father, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I want my life to be meaningless. I don't want my life to be lived without restraints, God. I want to remember that I was born with a purpose. You have a plan for my life. So I give you my life. I give you my heart. Repent of my sins. And some others, Lord, are here today, and they've served you, Lord, but sometime along the way, our eyesight has either been lost or grown dim. And we just pray with Samson today, one more time, Lord. Would you touch me one more time? One more time, Lord, one more time. I want, Lord, the rest of my life to be the best of my life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Keep your head down and your eyes closed. And I just want to ask, if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, would you raise your hand in this place right now? Could you just raise your hand? Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand. We're going to sing a new song that we've been singing. Protect the presence of God. Don't ever take it for granted. This song says it so well. Caught up in your presence. I just want to stay here in your presense. Let's sing it together. While we're singing, if you would like special prayer for any reason this morning, I'm going to invite Tom, would you come on down this morning? And Melanie, if you'd come on down this morning. And we'd just like to pray for you if you have any reason. Maybe there's something going on in your life. I want to come and thank God for something. We just have people here that are ready to pray for you, whatever it is. Let's sing the song.